Hello and welcome to this special Top 5 Rules to Live By episode. Each week I ask my guests for their guiding principles for life that they want to share with us. Things that motivate and inspire them, or that they really want us to understand for making fundamental change. I hope you enjoy this shorter format, giving you some tips each week to consider while you're going about your day. I would love to now get your top 5 rules to live by to find out more about the things that have helped and connected with you as you've gone.
So unsurprisingly, moving lots throughout the day. And then linked to that as well is keeping your movement varied. So all your body parts are getting a look in, and obviously it would be a good opportunity to say movement teachers can help with that, because they can help people identify which bits you need to move on, of course.
But do you mean with variety also experiencing different types of movement, like I'm trying to think, like moving your spine in sort of twists and bends and extensions and stuff like that.
I'll break it maybe into two things. So I think keeping it varied is in getting all your body bits to have a look in, subject to what your own movement potential is, because obviously if you've got some pre-existing conditions that mean some things are not safe for you to do, then moving the bits that are safe to move. And then that would be one segment. Well, no, more than that, I guess, alongside that, then looking at maybe like a movement pie chart, making sure you're getting some strength stuff in, some cardio, some flexibility. We'll put mobility and flexibility maybe together there, and balance as well. So you're getting you're doing bits of everything in your movement pie chart. And that's what I would mean by keeping it. But also, I guess, what I just said before about that is that making sure that when you're keeping it varied, you've got someone helping you out, because our brains love to move the same bit. So it's like we said before about the rib cage, that part at the bottom of the rib cage moves quite a bit, lower back moves quite a bit. So making sure that you get the less up for it bits to move more as well, really important to create better balance throughout the body and fewer aches and pains, of course.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think often we go to the type of movement that we really like. So like even, clients who come to me and all they do is Pilates, I try and encourage them to do other things as well, because there's no good them just doing Pilates, particularly women going towards menopause. We know that strength is really important, but also if they don't do something that's outside, I try and encourage them to get outside. And if they don't do something that gets their heart rate up, then I try and encourage them to do that. So I think that's really nice that you said about the pie chart, because you can kind of think, we just need a piece of the pie, just like you eat a rainbow of foods. And
it's about finding the thing that works for you. So, like running around the block 10 times, I'm not going to do that, and other people might not do that, some people might. So working out what works for you, introducing, I said in the book, tins of beans or whatever, or weights into some of your movements, because that helps with strength. You've got in Pilates, you do have own body strength and so on, but if we can introduce props in there as well, like magic circles, reformers, weights, whatever else it is, what's that thing, motor, all those things, they all contribute into that too. I love the Bellicon, the bouncing mini trampoline.
Yes,
I love that.
I saw that in your book. I just love the fact that you brought that in. I was like, I haven't actually seen anybody else who uses the rebounders like that. But
rebounder, that's the word. Yeah, I love the rebounder. It's in my kitchen, so that I jump on it every time, every morning. And I love it. I think it's really a really great thing, because you feel like you're getting your heart rate up. And you can really go for it, and it's fun. You can do dance moves on it, whatever. Or you can go to a teacher and learn proper routines as well. My friend Tessa, she teaches rebounder. Oh, and my friend Jenna as well. And they're really great at it. I just bop about really on my rebounder. But, there are lots of nice options. Yeah, and doing stuff that makes you smile is very important.
Yes.
That's another one of my top 5 things. Smile.
Smile
in life,
because it works your facial muscles as well as makes you feel happy.
Yeah, and it makes everyone else around you feel happy too.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
And number 4 is get enough sleep.
Yes.
Sleep is wonderful, obviously. And if you are spending your day moving around, doing lots of jolly good movement, then you'll have earned all that sleep at the end of the day.
And you'll feel more sleepy. You might sleep more deeply. You'll be comfortable when you sleep. because so many people get aches and pains when they're sleeping, yeah. and having that release through the day by moving around means that you're hopefully your hips and your shoulders and things won't ache so much if you are sleeping.
And the reverse is true. You sleep lots and you've got more energy to move.
Yes.
I like sleeping a lot. People still think that I'm just keep going, but I'm a kind of at least 8 hours a night kind of girl. So I wake up at like 5:30, because that's I start work every day at 6, but I go to bed really early.
You're the same as me. Yeah, I do training sessions and things like that at 6. But I'm like, my kids go to bed, lights out at 9:15 and 9:15. Oh my God, I struggle to stay awake when my eldest turns her light out. I'm like, oh, please go to bed. She's definitely going to be up a lot later than me very soon.
Number 5. Ah, yeah. So I think this is a really important one. Small steps. So taking incremental approaches to things reap big benefits. Mm. So, you know, if you, and I attach this to positive things, right? So this is a little funny one here for you. So if you want to put more movement into your life, then take an incremental approach to changing it. So saying, right, I'm going to add in 5 minutes of stretch. Use the stretching at your desk example earlier, stretching at my desk. So 5 minutes of that. And then, you know, you'll normalize that. And then sometime after that, then you can do more and you'll normalize that. And so you take an incremental approach to that. And my default is an all or nothing type of person, that's how I'm. But I soon realized that when it was a negative thing, I'm better with all or nothing. So I don't drink anymore, got rid of that. But I had to be an all or nothing thing. But with positive things, where actually it's the not setting yourself up for a fail. So you're not going to say, right, I'm never having sugar again, because I tried that and it didn't work. So what I was just like, okay, I'm going to have a bit less sugar. So, you know, and then approaching it like that incrementally on the positive stuff seems to be a good way of going, I think.
We mentioned James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, and BJ Fogg's book, Small yes. Habits. And both of those are brilliant for helping you to make those tiny changes.
Yeah, exactly.
That last. Because yes. really, most of the time, if we go, like James Clear says, if you go for intensity over consistency, you are going to fail. You are setting yourself up for failure, because there is no way, like me, chocolate. I know that anything that says to me, you cannot eat chocolate because of one reason or another, I'm just like, it's just not going to happen. Not going to happen. There is no point me starting with that. It's just not going to happen. But I can think, okay, I can have a bit more moderation. Let's just maybe have, you know, a slightly smaller amount of chocolate, maybe just once in the day, and not like, you know, 5 chocolate buttons at breakfast or something.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I realised I probably just contradicted myself there, actually, because I said on the alcohol front, I was like, right, that's it, I'm not doing it anymore. But then on other things, I'm like, you, I'll say I'll reduce it. But it depends, I think is it strange? Like, I think on some things it depends what the consequence is. So if the consequence is huge, you're more likely to stick to it, I think. Would that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know.
Impact of eating a bar of chocolate?
I always justify it as it depends on the chocolate. So,
oh, that's a good, yes.
I don't eat crappy chocolate. Like, you know, good, it's yeah. always very good chocolate. But nice. I suppose the thing with drinking is, and which a lot of people find, I think, which is, I don't really like how much I drink. I'll try and drink less. And then you aren't able to drink less. It just creeps back in, because the habits are all there. And that kind of feeling of, oh, I want to have a glass of wine so that I can relax in every evening. And then one becomes two, becomes three, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, if you're just like, no drinking, I'm stopping, then that whole habit is gone.
Yeah,
but I don't want my chocolate habit to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't want a life without chocolate. It's fine.
But it has to be a big enough reason to want to stop, doesn't it? Is the upshot. So, but when it's a positive thing, like the wanting to move more, like unless you're in like, so again, it's a big enough reason to make you do it. So if you're in like masses of pain, right? So you've got a slip disc or whatever. Yeah. Like that, and then you do this movement and it makes you feel better, you're more likely to continue because the risk of the massive pain is huge.
Yes. Yes.
So there's that. Yes. Oh, we're getting somewhere here.
Oh, like, there we go. We've uncovered it. Yes.
So, and if you drink lots, and then, you know, it's awful if you drink, then the need to stop is greater, because what will happen if you do it is awful. So yeah. If you've got a massive thing on the other side of whatever it is you're trying to do that incentivizes you to do it, then you're likely to do it. But for many people, you don't have those things. So for you eating chocolate, the consequence of eating those chocolate is not, you know, it's whatever. And the same with movement. Like, if you haven't had that pain and you don't think I'm gonna die, you know, that thing, then actually the reason to do it isn't big enough. So that's where it becomes good to do it incrementally, because the doing it then is small.
Yes. And sense. I think we're not very good at connecting ourselves with longevity of something.
Yes. Exactly.
Like, we kind of go, I know that in 20 years my back will feel better, I'll feel good, you know, whatever it might be. But it's really hard to kind of make a habit that you're then like, oh, in 20 years time I'll feel better from this.
Exactly. And that's why that's another reason why I like to hook on to the feeling less stiff and feeling fewer aches and pains, because they are things that are relevant now.
Yes.
Having you know, so and for me that's a good way of making changes. And that's why, you know, a lot of people as well, there's that thing about, well, I feel stiff because I'm old, which is the thing I hear all the time. But it's not, it's just because you haven't moved enough, or you haven't moved in the right way, or, you know. So you can change that. And then if you can say, right, do you feel stiff now? No. So it's not because you're getting older.
Yeah, because you're still old. Yeah.
And then if you feel that stiffness again, you have to tell yourself, I'm not old. Well, this isn't because I'm getting older. And then you move. So it's about finding the hooks. And I don't know why we've got to where we've got to, but I think it brought together some earlier comments quite nicely that we've sort of left up there.
Totally had a point to it, for sure. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kerri-Anne. It's just been brilliant to have you here today. I'm absolutely sure everybody has now found their sit bones and has been wriggling and fidgeting away. Hopefully people have been walking whilst they've been listening to this as well, which is always a wonderful thing that I can think people are out doing movement at the same time as listening. So thank you for bringing that joy of movement and sharing my movement motivation. Thank you for all your work getting people moving through the day. This book is a gold mine for those who want to look after their bodies while they're working or spending time at their desk. So I really hope you enjoy sharing it with people and promoting and getting more and more people moving. So thank you very much for coming to talk to me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yay. I hope you enjoyed this episode and you found at least one snippet of inspiration from this week's guest. If you're enjoying this format and the other episodes, I would love you to take 1 minute to rate, review, subscribe, or follow this podcast in wherever you listen. If you're on Apple Podcasts especially, a rating and review go a long way, and it would mean the world to me for you to take a second to do that. Thank you again for being here. I'll see you next time.